Let's turn back in our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 2. I want to thank the men for singing tonight, for all who have participated tonight in the service. It's a joy to be here and to have someone else in the pulpit lead the service. That's always a nice thing, and we appreciate Howard's work tonight and coming along leading the service for us, and we pray the Lord will bless him too. It's nice to see so many in, so let me concur with his words of welcome. To see so many visitors in with us, we appreciate that very much indeed. We do have supper afterwards, so don't rush away. I'll give you a little mention about that at the close of the service, but we do have supper for everyone tonight over in the fellowship hall through the door here to my right on the pulpit wall. You can make your way across there at the close of the service. So we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, those who are watching online too. And we pray the Lord will have blessed you already in the service and will continue to bless us as we turn to his word for a little time tonight at the close of the meeting. We're looking at verse 14 of Luke chapter 2. These are the words of the heavenly host, the multitude of the heavenly host, who came to announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds in the field. And they said in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This was the verse that was impressed upon my heart a couple of weeks ago, as I was thinking about the service, and I was here one Sunday evening as the choirs were getting ready and preparing for tonight, and one of the pieces that they were singing, of course, emphasized this very same verse. It's the latter part of the verse that I really want to focus in on, that little phrase, goodwill toward men. So that's our theme for tonight as we come to the close of the service, God's goodwill towards men. So let's have a wee word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord together, and then we'll come to the Lord's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for all that has taken place in this service already. We thank thee for the singing. We thank thee for those who have participated tonight, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank thee for each one. Lord, we thank thee for the Bible readings. We thank thee for the congregational singing tonight of these Christmas carols. Lord, bless the theme of them, the truth of them to every heart. And we pray tonight that if there are those in the service who do not know Christ yet as their Saviour, that, Lord, this would be the night when they would come to put their faith and trust in him. So answer prayer for us as we come to the closing part of the meeting tonight. Lord, minister to our hearts through thy word and by the power of thy Spirit. And minister to us, each one. We pray this now in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Eastern shepherds watching over their flocks by night would have been a very common sight in the fields outside Bethlehem. This was real sheep country. David in the Old Testament kept his father's sheep on these very same fields, and many other shepherds would have done likewise down through the years of history. And so the picture that's painted for us here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, where we're told that there were in the same country shepherds abiding, keeping watch over their flock by night. That picture that's painted in that 8th verse is a very common one indeed. These Eastern shepherds were simply doing what Eastern shepherds do. They knew the dangers that their flocks would face at night, and so they stayed with them, watching over them, keeping an eye upon each one of them, waiting for the dawn of a new day to come, when they would go on to new pastures and find fresh streams of water for their flocks. These were ordinary men doing an ordinary job in an ordinary place on what was for them, at the start at least, a very ordinary night. But that night was going to become an extraordinary experience. For as those shepherds settled down, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they had never seen anything like this before. These were humble shepherds in the fields, and it filled them with fear. We're told actually that they were sore afraid, is how verse 9 of the chapter puts it. We can only imagine, I think, the emotions that must have filled their hearts. What did this mean? The angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shining round about them. What was that all about? What was happening here on this night outside Bethlehem? What was coming next? And it seems as if the angel understood their fear, understood the emotions that were running through their hearts and minds, and he immediately moved to allay those fears, and he said, "Fear not." fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was a message from the angel of the Lord to shepherds about the newborn Christ. The angel spoke of him as a Saviour, lying in a manger in Bethlehem, the city of David, and was also personal and powerful for these shepherds. Remember what the angel said, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And no sooner had that first angel, the angel of the Lord, no sooner had he finished that statement that he was joined with a multitude of the heavenly host who came praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a trinity of phrases we have there. Glory, glory to God in the highest. In other words, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ brings the greatest glory to God. This is the fulfillment of promises that were spoken right at the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised to send his Son. And so the coming of his Son into this world, the birth of Christ, brought glory to God in the highest. The angels went on to say, on earth peace. Isaiah spoke of Christ as the Prince of Peace, some 700 years before he was born. And it's through Christ and in Christ and by Christ and with Christ that we can have peace with God, know our sins forgiven and our guilt removed, and we can know a true living relationship with the God of heaven. It's Christ who makes peace between us and God through the blood of his cross. Then the third statement, the one I want to look at tonight, goodwill toward men. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world is a mighty proof or a powerful demonstration, a glorious display of God's goodwill toward men. I think this little phrase is one that needs to be preached over and over and over and over again. And I say that because some people have the notion that God is anything but good. That God is anything but good and that he has no goodwill towards men. I hear this on radio. I read this online in news reports. They look at the wars and the rumors of wars around the world, and they look at natural disasters and pandemics and disease and suffering and death, and then they conclude that God is either weak and cannot prevent these things, or he is uncaring and unloving, and he has no goodwill toward us. They question the goodwill of God. These heavenly messengers, these angels, knew better than that. And the message that they brought so many years ago, a message from the Lord himself, for that's what an angel is, just a messenger. He's just a messenger. This was God's message. God's message to the shepherds was glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, and goodwill towards men. The coming of the Savior was a message of goodwill, a demonstration of the goodwill of God to men. To us tonight in this meeting, let's bring this right down to ourselves tonight, our own lives, our own experiences. The coming of Christ to save people like us is a demonstration of God's goodwill. So let's look at that for a very quick time tonight, as we come towards the end of the service. The first thing I want you to think about is that man does not deserve God's goodwill. Man does not deserve God's goodwill. The phrase here, goodwill, that we find in verse 14, has to do with God's love or God's grace or God's mercy. It's a phrase that has to do with the favor of God. It means the pure mercy of God. And we're told here that it's goodwill toward men. If the angels had said goodwill towards the angels, we might have understood that a little better, because some of the angels at least had never sinned. But it's goodwill toward men. Men and women who do not deserve God's goodwill. Why do I say that? Because the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no exception to that statement among ordinary men and women. What is true of one of us is true of all of us. We have sinned against God. We are against Him. We are His enemies. We resist Him. We reject Him. We refuse Him. By nature, we are anti-God. You might think that's very strong language, but not really. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, this is what the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what we're like. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, we have turned away from God. Man is a rebel to God. Our priorities by nature, our priorities left to ourselves, are all wrong. We are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We love sin, we love self, we love the things of the world far more than we love the things of the Lord. We have turned our back upon the law of God. We blow away the Ten Commandments. We're enemies to God. We would much rather do what's right in our own eyes than what's right in the eyes of God. We think nothing of God's mercy to us. When God first created man, he was perfect and holy and righteous. Adam and Eve were in a perfect relationship with God, and Adam reverenced God and lived for God. But then Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and sin entered into this world, and man's relationship with God was dramatically and suddenly changed. So that now man is not holy, and man is not righteous, and man is not for God, man is unholy and unrighteous, and he is against God. And yet we discover here in the message of the angels to the shepherds that there's goodwill toward men, toward sinful men, toward men who are corrupt from head to toe, from within their hearts and without by their actions. Man is corrupt, man is careless. He is careless towards God. He doesn't have God in his thoughts. He's condemned as well, condemned under the wrath of God because he doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say all of that tonight to show you the awful state of man before God. My dear friend, left to ourselves, we are ruined. Ruined in our sin. Ruined because of our sin. Ruined by our sin. And we fight with God and we rebel against God and we refuse God. That's why I say man in that state doesn't deserve the goodwill of God. We don't deserve it. Why would God show his goodwill to us? Why would God have mercy on us? Why would God do that? Because he is a God of grace. We have shown nothing but sin and rebellion towards him. And yet here, the message of the angels was so clear to those shepherds. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace and goodwill. Goodwill toward men. What a message. Man does not deserve God's goodwill. The second thing I want you to see tonight is that God's goodwill to man is best seen in Christ. It is best seen in Christ. God gives mercy to men even in their sin. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 tells me this. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, God sends the sun to shine on those who are Christians and those who are not. He sends the rain on those who are Christians and those who are not. He gives what we sometimes talk of as common grace. He gives blessings to every person. The rain, the sun, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the strength that we have. That's all a blessing from God, you know. That's all a token of the Lord's goodwill to you and to me. Our next breath, the next breath we're going to breathe is in the hand of God. He could withhold that breath and we would be gone from this world. But such is his goodwill to us that he gives us our next breath until the time of our departure has come. He gives us food. He gives us water to drink. His mercy is seen in all the world around us. Every day. Every day we are the recipients of the goodwill of God. Every day and in every land, God's goodwill is evident in so many different ways. But I say this to you tonight. It is best seen in the gift of the Savior. It is best seen in the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. One commentator said the gift of the Savior is an expression of goodwill or love to people. Think of his coming into this world. What did Christ leave in order to come to this world? He left the glories of heaven, where he was with his Father from all eternity. Christ left that and he came into this world that was cursed with sin and filled with sinners. Yet Christ had no sin of his own, but he came into this world as a babe and was laid in a manger. And he grew up to be a man who never sinned against his Father. The coming of the Savior proves the goodwill of the Father. It was the Father who sent him. I think of the crucifixion of the Savior. This is why the Savior came. The story of Christ doesn't end at Bethlehem. Doesn't finish with Christ in a manger. Christ came to Bethlehem and he was laid in a manger that he would eventually go to Jerusalem and there die on a cross. That's why he was born. He came into this world knowing that's where he was going. Knowing that's what he would do. The Father sent him to do this work. That's why I say the goodwill of God is best seen in Christ, in the coming of Christ, in the crucifixion of Christ, in the call from Christ. What does Christ say to us? He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's the goodwill of God in Christ. We're invited to come to him and be saved. Have the burden of our sin taken away, the guilt that we carry, to have it gone. Carried away because Christ has died for sinners and by his death he can put away our sin. The goodwill of God in the coming of the Savior, in the crucifixion of the Savior, in the call from the Savior, in the confirmation of the Savior, he says, "All that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's what the Savior promises. Then I think about the cleansing by the Savior. He has promised, my dear friend, to wash away your sin. If you will come to him and trust him, he will wash away your sin. That guilt of yours, that heap of sin of yours, that nothing else can take away. Not your works, not your church, not your prayers, not your efforts. Only Christ, by his blood, because he died for sinners. And here's the demonstration, the greatest demonstration of God's goodwill toward men is wrapped up in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. People question God's goodwill. But they've never stopped to consider what he has done. John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us this. For God so loved the world. What kind of world was it he loved? He loved a world of sinners. A world where there was shame and sin and corruption and wickedness. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's the greatest display of God's goodwill to us. It's best seen in Jesus Christ. We can never doubt the love of God when we see Christ and what Christ has done. He who left heaven to come into this world to seek and to save sinners like us. What a plan of salvation, all centering on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So man does not deserve God's goodwill, but God's goodwill is best seen in Christ. And lastly, and very quickly, God's goodwill to us demands a response from us. It demands a response from us. What did the shepherds do? There they are in the field outside Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord has come. The glory of the Lord has shone round about them. They've been told there's a Savior born in Bethlehem. Then the multitude of the heavenly hosts come. And they say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And you think the shepherds just sat back and said, what was that all about? That's nothing to do with us. No, not at all. Look at what they say in this chapter, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They recognized this Savior who had been born was a demonstration of God's goodwill to them. He was Christ the Lord. He was the Savior. And so they rose up, they left their flocks, and they made their way into Bethlehem. And there they saw the Savior. They believed what they had heard, and they made it their immediate business, to go to Christ. To go to Christ. They wanted to see him. They wanted to be in his presence, in his company, though he was just an infant. But they left what they were doing and they went to be with the Christ of God. Tell me tonight, what is your response to Christ? What is your response to God's goodwill toward men? Is it to say, well, that's not for me? Is it to say, well, I have time, I'm young, and I'm healthy, and well, I'll just wait. I don't need to rush. Or is it your mind to think to yourself, well, I don't believe any of this, and therefore I don't need to go. I don't need to deal with Jesus Christ. Maybe you have no room for him tonight. My dear friend, I plead with you in Jesus' name that you would make this the most urgent thing you could ever attend to tonight, to come to Christ by faith and trust him as your Savior. Christ was laid in a manger so that the very poorest could come to him. And Christ is a Savior who is accessible to all who will come to him. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you've never really heard the gospel before. Maybe you realize that you're a sinner, you've broken God's law. You realize that all is not well between you and God, and you perhaps question, how can I get rid of this sin? How can I be ready for heaven? How can I be right with God? My friend, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No church can save us. No minister can save us. It's only Christ who can save us. Because only Christ is without sin. And only Christ has died for sinners like us. And so I plead with you tonight to do what the shepherds did. To take this message from the angels to your heart as a message from heaven to your soul. For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And may you come to him by faith tonight and say, Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. cleanse me and give me new life forevermore. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.